World markets are down, but spirits are up in France, at least for the many supporters of President-elect the socialist François Hollande, who was greeted as he arrived at his Paris campaign headquarters this morning. Yesterday's election, in which sitting President Nicolas Sarkozy was given the boot, is seen as a referendum on austerity. In the New York Times today, Paul Krugman describes it as the end of Merkozy, the axis of Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel that pushed spending cuts and bailouts on debt-ridden countries. But the vote is also seen as a commentary on the anti-immigration sentiment in Sarkozy's campaign. We want to spend a few minutes on France, and we start with the BBC's James Kumarsamy, who is in Paris. So, James, does it feel different there today?
I'm not sure it feels different. We have clarity now, at least. We know that François Hollande will be president for the next 5 years. What we don't know, I suppose, is how he is going to tackle these huge economic challenges that he faces. I was down last night at the Bastille, where all the socialists were gathering. And it was interesting, actually, because a lot of the people there were saying this was a vote for them against Nicolas Sarkozy rather than necessarily for François Hollande. I think he still has quite a lot to prove, even with many of those who voted for him.
Well, you say it's yet to be seen how he's going to tackle these financial issues, but hasn't he said how he's going to do that? You know, by raising taxes on corporations, on people making more than €1 million. He wants their rate to go up to 75%, or at least had said that in the past, kind of switching from the thinking of cutting government spending, cutting government jobs, to putting some of the burden of the recovery on the rich.
Yeah, he certainly said that. And the question, of course, is campaign rhetoric versus reality. He's talked about up to 60,000 new teaching jobs in the public sector. He's talked about reversing some, at least, of President Sarkozy's pension reforms. He raised the pension age from 60 to 62. François Hollande has talked about bringing it back to 60 for some people, provided they've paid their contributions for the requisite amount of time. So, yes, we know the broad outline, and we know that he's talked about wanting to renegotiate, potentially, the agreement, pan-European agreement, that was worked out a short while ago, in order to have more growth, as he would have it, and perhaps less austerity. The question is, when he comes up against opposition from Germany, when he comes up against the reality of having to meet another pledge, which is to balance the books by 2017 here in France, perhaps some of those policies, some of those promises will have to be rounded off at the edges.
Well, it's interesting because here in the U.S., of course, politicians are watching. The politicians on the right had been casting what's happening in Europe as failed socialism, as failed big governments. They say the collapse was because governments had too many people on the dole, too many people on the payroll. And of course, here we have a socialist being elected into office saying, no, the problems have been too many cuts, too much austerity. What's been the reaction, from the investment world in France?
Look, as far as jobs are concerned, you've got to remember 10% unemployment in France. It's as high as it's been for some years. You mentioned in the introduction immigration. That, of course, has played into this campaign. Anti-immigrant sentiment has gone hand in hand with fears about jobs, fears about people coming in and taking their jobs. So these are all issues that he's going to have to take into account in the short term. But in just a month's time or so, there will be more elections. We have a president, but we're going to have parliamentary elections. He needs to get a socialist majority in parliament if he's to be able to push through the kind of policies he wants. So perhaps an even more, in some ways, important vote.
Well, tell us more about that, because the battle between François Hollande and Nicolas Sarkozy, it's been said, actually gave a lot of strength to the far right in France. So, tell us a little more about how this is all simmering.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly, and look, if we look at other presidential campaigns, certainly in the United States, this is true. Personality is a very, very big part of it. And, Nicolas Sarkozy was a very, very divisive president by the end. You either liked him or you hated him.
And is it pretty much agreed that he was pushed to the right by the far right, which, gained a lot of momentum?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, certainly he made appeals and he talked about immigration in a way that he'd hoped would appeal to the far right. He knew that he needed the 18% or so who voted for Marine Le Pen, the far right leader, in the first round of the election to come on board if he was going to win. Now, if you look at the figures, 5 years ago when he did win, he got 70% of the voters who voted for the far right in the first round of the election. They came on board in the decisive second round when he won. This time round, he only got about 50% of them. So if he did make those appeals, well, they didn't work. She, the leader, Marine Le Pen, said she was not going to vote for either of the two candidates, and it seems that quite a few of her supporters did the same.
The BBC's James Kumarasamy speaking to us from Paris. James, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Well, besides those parliamentary elections in June, the French president-elect also has a NATO summit in Chicago later this month. So we'll see how quickly he handles that relationship with Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel. Christopher Dickey is Paris bureau chief for Newsweek. You can also read him on the Daily Beast. There's a link at herenow.org to his writing, as Chris joins us now from Paris. And Chris, you're one of the analysts who says François Hollande won because he wasn't Nicolas Sarkozy, but you also remind us he won because he's not Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who many thought was going to be the candidate from the Socialist Party until he had those problems in a New York hotel.
Well, absolutely. Until a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, everybody in France believed that Dominique Strauss-Kahn was going to be the socialist candidate for president, and that because Nicolas Sarkozy was so deeply unpopular and Strauss-Kahn was seen as a powerful centrist figure, he would just walk into the Élysée Palace when the elections came. Unfortunately, he walked into a suite at the Sofitel Hotel in Manhattan and then walked out of the shower naked, and the rest is history.
Well, and so who is the man who is going to walk in? We mentioned Paul Krugman's column. He writes that Hollande is being cast as a dangerous figure because, as The Economist said, he genuinely believes in the need to create a fairer society. You know, as Paul writes today, quel horreur. But who is he? What does he stand for?
Well, you know, I think people probably do have some reasons to be worried, certainly people with large financial interests. This man is truly a professional politician. The thing you need to know about him is that he went to the School for the Elite Public Servants of France, ENA as it's called, and the École Nationale d'Administration, the National School of Administration. And that is the school for presidents, for ministers, and it is a very, very small elite of people who feel that they are destined to run the country. Now, one of the problems that Nicolas Sarkozy had is that he could never get into the ENA, and he wasn't part of that group. But Jacques Chirac was.
Well, he also, interesting, Hollande, had a father who was on the far right, has a father who's on the far right.
Yes, but, you know, with Hollande, his politics were the politics of opportunity, and he saw a chance when he was straight out of school with François Mitterrand, this great socialist president, the only socialist president before him, who gave him a lot of opportunities within the party, although he never named him to a cabinet post, which is something that sort of haunted Hollande ever since. Hollande also served with Mitterrand with another of his classmates from the ENA, Ségolène Royal, who ran for president in 2007 and lost.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because we didn't want to bring it up too quickly, but you have. We find this fascinating. You mentioned Ségolène Royal, who was seen as one of Hollande's top two rivals for the Socialist Party candidacy, and is also his former partner and the mother of his four children.
Well, that's right, and they were together for 30 years. You know, actually, French politics at that level is a soap opera. It's almost a bedroom farce. There are so many people moving around and so many changing relationships and alliances, and everybody pretends that it doesn't really affect things, but sometimes it does. Clearly, there was some difficult moments between François Hollande in 2007, who was then the head of the Socialist Party, and Ségolène Royal, who was the candidate of the Socialist Party, and the fact that they had quietly broken up and he had moved in with another woman.
Right. A former TV journalist and a political reporter, and he met her when he was still with Ségolène Royal. You know, here in this country, we have trials about this kind of thing, but in France, this is
only
just,
when people lie about it.
Yeah, there you go. In France, it's just part of how it works. But how does this affect his presidency in any way?
Well, you know what? That's not going to affect his presidency at all. He and Ségolène Royal now obviously have a good working relationship. She was out campaigning for him. Valérie Trierweiler, his partner now, I think was a very important advisor to him. When it comes to the politics, they're all political animals, and they're looking at these things in very clear ways about how to get elected and how to stay in power.
Well, what does this election mean? We were just talking about how Paul Krugman and others are saying it was a vote on austerity. You say not so fast. Why?
Well, I think it's not clear that the voters were voting on the issue of austerity. They're clearly uncomfortable with it. But it's interesting in the polls, you see that most people are willing to say that government should cut back its spending, but they're not willing to say that they should raise their taxes. And Hollande's policies really are what are called in the United States tax and spend policies. On the other hand, Sarkozy was raising taxes. At the same time, he was saying he wasn't going to be spending. Ultimately, the vote in France was not so much about austerity as it was about Sarkozy. And almost whoever ran against him was going to stand a good chance of defeating him. Now, Hollande has to make his mark. But Hollande is going to be a president in the style of Mitterrand, his mentor, who was called the Sphinx, because you didn't really learn a lot about what Mitterrand was thinking. He was not a transparent public figure. And he left it to his prime minister and to his cabinet. Sarkozy was out in front all the time. So when people got unhappy in France, they got unhappy with him.
Briefly, Chris Dickey, what do you think this means for the European Union?
I think we're going to see a very interesting and tense relationship between France and Germany, but I think they'll work it out. And everybody talks about Merkozy and how well Sarkozy and Merkel worked together, but that wasn't true for a very long time. She, like many people, really did not like Sarkozy very much, but eventually they saw they had common interests. The personalities of Hollande and Merkel are said to be much more similar, and they still have common interests.
Anything else you think we should take away from this?
I think we need to be careful when we look at Europe right now that we don't just talk about France. The Greek elections are in many ways much more problematic, where you have real radicals creating a situation where the government may not be able to find any kind of stability at all.
Radicals on the left and the right.
Yeah, exactly. Radicals on the left and the right, and the government may not be able to find any stability at all. I think on the other issue that people talk about a lot with Merkel, the sort of test issue here is the stability pact that Merkel and Sarkozy and all but one country, all but Britain, of the European Union countries agreed to several months ago. But what you have to remember is that only three or four countries have ratified that pact, and it isn't as crazy as it sounds for Hollande to reopen that discussion. The Germans are trying to say this is unthinkable, but it clearly is thinkable, and that's what's going to happen.
And Chris Dickey, there you are in Paris. I'm sure you have come in contact with a wide swath of people. How are they feeling today?
I think people are happy they're rid of Sarkozy and nervous about Hollande.
Well, there you go. Chris Dickey, Paris bureau chief for Newsweek, who also writes for the Daily Beast. We'll link you again at herenow.org. Chris, thanks as always.
Thank you.